number of years ago, my wife's aunt passed away. She went to a little gospel hall in Strabane. And when her belongings were being distributed amongst the family, some of her books were given to me. And in one of those books, there was a little illustration given of the power of the Word of God. Friend, when we read it, we were absolutely amazed at what we read in that little story. It was a tremendous encouragement. And as we introduce the message this morning, though the illustration might be quite lengthy, I trust, friend, that it will come with a freshness to you, and that it will delight your soul, and that you too will be amazed at the power of the Word of God in light of the mission that will come to a conclusion this afternoon. We have spent this last 2 weeks meetings where the Word of God has been preached. And we think of the outreach that was done in the lead up to the mission and during the mission, and the literature that was given out during the mission. We should never, ever underestimate the power of the Word of God. Just in the prayer meeting before the service started, I was reminded of a story in Spurgeon's day. Spurgeon's sermons used to be reproduced in some of the local newspapers. And those were the days when things were expanding across the world in industry. And a lady was sending out a parcel to a friend in Australia. And to wrap the thing together, she crumpled up bits of newspaper and she stuffed it into the parcel and sent it to Australia. And her friend, in opening the package, noticed a headline in the crumpled newspaper, and she smoothed it out. And it was one of Spurgeon's sermons. And through that she was saved. And friend, that reminds you and I that during this mission, these messages have been recorded. And in time, maybe there will be those who will tune in and listen to what is being said in this mission. And like Spurgeon's sermon, there might be a delay. Souls can be converted in time to come. And I trust, friend, that this illustration that we begin with this morning in our message will be an encouragement to every Christian in this service, to those who work in the school, every Sunday school teacher, those who are involved in outreach. In the earlier part of last century, a young lady was sitting in the drawing room of her house just looking blindly out the window. She lived in a very fashionable area of Dublin at that time, inner city Dublin. And she was a very wealthy lady, and her home was very handsomely furnished. But as she looked blindly out the window, she was deeply troubled in her heart, and most unhappy. Her name was a Mrs. Blake, and she was a Roman Catholic. Mrs. Blake was very fervent in the practice of her creed, as often as she could. And she was deeply devout and conscientious in following the teachings of her church. But at that time in her life, though she had been to confession many times and said her prayers and did her penance and followed her religious practices and did what her religious confessor told her to do, she was still deeply unhappy in her heart. She told of her sorrows to her confessor priest, and at his bidding, she had taken up different works of charity, and they had occupied her for quite a while. But still the sense of sin lay very heavily upon her soul. Her confessor often gave her full absolution, but still the priest's words brought absolutely no comfort to Mrs. Blake. And as she was pondering over these things that day, sitting blindly looking out the window into the street in Dublin, there was a knock at the door that aroused her. And before she knew it, and before she had time to collect her thoughts together, the priest was standing in the room. He had come, wondering of how I'm going to take the sad look off her face. And he told her that tomorrow there is a comedy show in the Rotunda Theatre in Dublin. And he had bought her a ticket to go. And he encouraged her to go. He thought it would help her and to lift her spirits. Mrs. Blake protested as why she couldn't go. But the priest persisted in having bought the ticket out of the money of his own pocket. And she felt obliged to go, and she felt that she couldn't disobey her spiritual advisor. The following afternoon, Mrs. Blake headed off to the Rotunda for the comedy show. And folks, the old Rotunda in Dublin city centre was a very large building. There were many different theatres and cinemas within the building, and they could stage different shows all at the one time. And each one had its own entrance. Mrs. Blake arrived at the Rotunda, but she made a mistake about the timing of the show. She had come much earlier, And she noticed a crowd that was gathering, and so she joined the queue and she followed them in. She found it odd that nobody had asked her for a ticket when she sat down. But she concluded that just like on the bus, the conductor or somebody will come along and punch the tickets in time to come. She wasn't long sitting there when a man came onto the platform and announced a hymn. And it dawned upon her, to her horror, that she was sitting in a gospel meeting. She was very shy, out of a sensitive disposition, and she didn't want to get up in front of everybody and walk out. And so she decided, when it came to the last verse of the hymn, when everybody was standing, that she would slip out and she would leave. It came to the last verse of the hymn, and in her anxiety to be quick to get out, she knocked her umbrella over with such a clatter that people thought somebody had fallen, and they all turned round to see. Mrs. Blake was highly embarrassed, and so she just continued on and she sat down. The man on the platform started to pray, and she couldn't help but listen, for she had never heard anything like it in her life before. It was so different to the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers that she heard time after time, and so different from the prayers that she read from her books of devotion. She noticed that the man was most reverent and respectful, and she was struck by the very tone of his prayer. When the prayer was over, the man opened the Bible at Hebrews chapter 10. And he read verses 1 to 18, and he announced that the subject of his message was the forgiveness of sins. Mrs. Blake was totally startled at what she had heard, because that's the very thing that she had been searching for the last number of weeks. And the preacher went on to say of how the Lord Jesus Christ had made one sacrifice for sins forever, shed his blood to atone for the soul, and he offers to every individual a full and a free pardon to those who ask him. He turned also to several New Testament passages to back up what he was saying, and Mrs. Blake was totally amazed. And as thirsty ground drinks in the summer rain, so too did that poor soul that day in the rotunda. When the meeting was over, Mrs. Blake plucked up the courage to go down to the platform and ask the man what sort of a book was that you were reading from. He was totally surprised at the question like that being asked. He told her he was reading from the Bible. He got down from the stage and he got down to her level. And he wrote down the passages of scripture that he had quoted from on a sheet of paper so that she could read at home. Mrs. Blake says, "I don't have a Bible. I never had one." And the preacher said, "Well, I will lend you mine, on the condition that you bring it back to me in a few days' time." He wrote down his address in the inside cover of the Bible, and off she went with a copy of the scriptures for the first time in her life. Getting home, she read the passages and she turned them up for herself. And the light of God's truth shone on her darkened soul. And as best Mrs. Blake knew how, she got down on her knees at the side of the couch. And she cried to God for mercy to save her soul. And peace and joy flooded her soul and her mind. Now the time had come for the Bible to be returned. Mrs. Blake didn't want to give it back again. She was addicted to the Bible. She saw that book to be a real treasure, and she was engrossed in it. In fact, friend, she was so engrossed in it one afternoon that she didn't notice the doorbell ringing, and before she knew it, the confessor priest was standing in the room. He noticed a very restful calm in her eyes, and he asked her what on earth had happened to her. He said that, "I hadn't heard you from you for a wee while, and I've come to see how the comedy show went. And I noticed you weren't out at Mass this last number of weeks. I thought that you'd been sick, and so I decided to call round." Mrs. Blake was taken aback by the suddenness of it all, because she intended to keep it a secret for a little time, but now she was off her guard, and she just told it all in the simplicity of a child. How she had mistaken the timing of the comedy show. She had followed the wrong queue into the rotunda. How she heard a man preach from the Bible. She was amazed at his prayers. Or told about the conversation with the preacher afterward. The Bible that he gave her. And how she asked the Lord to save her. She glanced up at the priest, and her spirit froze with terror. He was totally black with rage. His face was full of fury, and he snapped the Bible out of her hand. And he told her, "You're playing with heresy, and you will go to hell." And in his rage, with the Bible in his hand, he stormed out of the room. Mrs. Blake was totally paralysed with fear. The awful look of the priest terrified her. And then she thought of the man who had loaned her the Bible. "Bible stolen now. How am I going to get it back? The address is on the inside of the cover. I don't know where he lives." She sat in turmoil of mind. Days passed slowly by, and courage began to creep up within her. And after a full fortnight, Mrs. Blake determined she'd go and pay the priest a visit to get the Bible back and give it back to its rightful owner. Father John lived a good couple of miles from Mrs. Blake, and his parochial house was adjoined to a convent. Mrs. Blake knocked on the door and a wee nun answered, and the nun was visibly annoyed at the sight of Mrs. Blake standing there. She asked if Father John was at home, and immediately the nun's face became rigid and her manner became very cold. And as the nun spoke, she half led and half pushed Mrs. Blake into a room, and horror of horrors, there was an open coffin, and the lifeless corpse of her confessor priest in that coffin. And with deep shock, the nun hissed at Mrs. Blake. She hissed in her ear that Father John died cursing your very name. Died cursing you for the Bible that you gave him. And he told me to tell you that. She says, it was you that has caused him this. And he cursed you with his last breath. And she pushed her out into the street and slammed the door in her back. Mrs. Blake was horrified. Several more weeks passed by. One night, Mrs. Blake was sitting in her home, just pondering over the events of the previous 8 or 9 weeks. She thought of the joy and the pardon in her heart, and how she had went out and bought a Bible for herself. She read it day and daily. She thought of the errors that she had been reared in the Catholic Church, and she had renounced them one by one. And then she thought of the death of the young priest, and his awful last words. That moment, a servant ushered into the room. Mrs. Blake was a lady who was very closely veiled. She was deeply uneasy. Before Mrs. Blake could speak to the lady, lady said, you don't know me in this dress, but you're soon going to recognise me. She lifted the veil and revealed the face of the nun that had delivered the message of cursing some weeks before. She said, I've got something to tell you. I want to apologise for telling you lies about Father John. I beg your forgiveness. Father John died blessing you with all his heart. The day before his death, she said, the priest charged me to tell you that he, like you, had found forgiveness of sins because of that book, and that throughout eternity he would bless you for the knowledge that he has gained in his Saviour because of that book. And she says, because I loved that priest, I hated you for what you had done. I felt that you had damned him in hell. And after the funeral was over, she says, I too became fascinated with that book. And I also have found peace and pardon in my Saviour, and I'm here to give it back to you. And she went on, I have escaped from the convent this evening, and I have a ticket to sail to Liverpool, but I've come here to give you back the Bible, and to tell you that I will bless you for the rest of my life, for the salvation I have found. She says, God bless you. And as she was leaving, she says, we might never meet again, but we'll meet in heaven. And with a brief farewell, she was gone. Mrs. Blake sat there in stunned silence, and she stared at the little worn Bible, and she thought it was all a dream. She went back to the owner, and she told him the story, and you can imagine his sheer joy at the wonderful news of the adventure of a Bible. Friend, what a tremendous story of the power of the Word of God.